Today on Tristan Storytime, get ready for a show filled with nonstop excitement as we go inside the house that Jack built. Then a little gingerbread man leads the cook, her dog, her cat, and a monkey on a laugh-filled high-speed chase. Next, a woodman loses his axe and Mercury puts his honesty to the test. And finally, feel the wind in your hair as we read Robert Louis Stevenson's classic poem, The Wind. Those stories and more next on Tristan Storytime. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. Today's nursery rhyme is not a song, but I promise you it'll be just as good. It's called The House That Jack Built, from one of R. Caldecott's picture books. This is the house that Jack built. This is the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the cow with the crumpled horn that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the maiden all forlorn that milked the cow with the crumpled horn, that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the man all tattered and torn that kissed the maiden all forlorn, that milked the cow with the crumpled horn, that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the priest all shaven and shorn that married the man all tattered and torn that kissed the maiden all forlorn, that milked the cow with the crumpled horn, that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the cock that crowed in the morn that waked the priest all shaven and shorn that married the man all tattered and torn that kissed the maiden all forlorn that milked the cow with the crumpled horn that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the farmer who sowed the corn that fed the cock that crowed in the morn that waked the priest all shaven and shorn that married the man all tattered and torn that kissed the maiden all forlorn that milked the cow with the crumpled horn that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. Whew! What a doozy. I'm all out of breath. We've had everything in this story except for the kitchen sink. That was so much fun. I almost feel like doing it again. But we have more to do, so stick around for more of Tristan's story time. Well, I hope you're hungry, ladies and gentlemen, because this fairy tale will get you dashing over to your next meal, or in other cases, dessert. And this fairy tale is called The Little Gingerbread Man by George Haven Putnam, with pictures and decorations by Robert Gaston Herbert. One day, the cook went into the kitchen to make some gingerbread. She took some flour and water, and treacle and ginger, and mixed them all well together. And she put in some more water to make it thin, and then some more flour to make it thick, and a little salt and some spice, and then she rolled it out into a beautiful, smooth, dark yellow dough. Then she took the square tins and cut out some square cakes for the little boys. And with some round tins, she cut out some round cakes for the little girls. And then she said,
"I'm going to make a little gingerbread man for little Bobby."
So she took a nice round lump of dough for his body, and a smaller lump for the head, which she pulled out a little for the neck. Two other lumps were stuck on beneath for the legs, and were pulled out into pepper shape, with feet and toes all complete. And two still smaller pieces were made into arms, with dear little hands and fingers. But the nicest work was done on the head, for the top was frizzed up into a pretty sugary hat, and in front, after the nose had been carefully molded, a beautiful mouth was made out of a big raisin and two bright little eyes with burnt almonds and caraway seeds. Then the gingerbread man was finished, ready for baking, and a very jolly little man he was, too. In fact, he looked so sly that the cook was afraid he was plotting some mischief. And when the batter was ready for the oven, she put in the square cakes and she put in the round cakes, and then she put in the little gingerbread man in a far back corner where he couldn't get away in a hurry. Then she went up to sweep the parlor, and she swept and she swept till the clock struck 12, when she dropped her broom in a hurry and exclaiming,
"Looks, the gingerbread man will be all baked to a cinder!"
She ran down into the kitchen and threw open the oven door, and the square cakes were all done, nice and hard and brown. And the round cakes were all done, nice and hard and brown. And the gingerbread man was all done too, nice and hard and brown. And he was standing up in his corner with his little caraway seed eyes sparkling and his raisin mouth bubbling over with mischief while he waited for the oven door to be opened. The instant the door was opened, with a hop, skip, and a jump, he went right over the square cakes and the round cakes and over the cook's arm, and before she could say Jack Robinson,
Jack Robinson!
He was running across the kitchen floor as fast as his little legs would carry him towards the back door, which was standing wide open, and through which he could see the garden path. The old cook turned round as fast as she could, which wasn't very fast, for she was rather a heavy woman, and she had been quite taken by surprise. And she saw lying right across the doorway, fast asleep in the sun, old Mouser the cat.
"Mouser! Mouser!" she cried. "Stop the gingerbread man! I want him for little Bobby!"
When the cook first called, Mouser thought it was only someone calling in her dreams, and simply rolled over lazily, and the cook called again.
"Mouser! Mouser!"
The old cat sprang up with a jump, but just as she turned round to ask the cook what all the noise was about, the little gingerbread man cleverly jumped under her tail and in an instant was trotting down the garden walk. Mouser turned in a hurry and ran after, although she was still rather too sleepy to know what it was she was trying to catch. And after the cat came the cook, lumbering along rather heavily, but also making pretty good speed.
"Run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man."
Now at the bottom of the walk, lying fast asleep in the sun against the warm stones of the garden wall, was Towser, the dog. And the cook called out,
"Towser! Towser! Stop the gingerbread man! I want him for little Bobby!"
And when Towser first heard her calling, he thought it was someone speaking in his dreams. And he only turned over on his side, with another snore, and then the cook called again,
"Towser! Towser! Stop him! Stop him!"
Then the dog woke up in good earnest and jumped up on his feet to see what it was that he should stop. But just as the dog jumped up, the little gingerbread man, who had been watching for the chance, quietly slipped between his legs and climbed up on the top of the stone wall so that Towser saw nothing but the cat running towards him down the walk, and behind the cat, the cook, and now quite out of breath. He thought at once that the cat must have stolen something and that it was the cat the cook wanted him to stop. Now if there was anything that Towser liked, it was going after the cat, and he jumped up the walk so fiercely that the poor cat did not have time to stop herself or to get out of his way. And they came together with a great fizzing and barking and meowing and howling and scratching and biting, as if a couple of Catherine wheels had gone off in the wrong way and had gotten mixed up with one another. But the old cook had been running so hard that she was not able to stop herself any better than the cat had done, and she fell right on top of the mixed-up dog and cat, so that all three rolled over on the walk in a heap together. and the cat scratched whichever came nearest, whether it was a piece of the dog or of the cook. And the dog bit at whatever came nearest, whether it was a piece of the cat or of the cook, so that the poor cook was badly pummeled on both sides. Meanwhile, the gingerbread man had climbed up on the garden wall and stood on the top with his hands in his pockets, looking at the scrimmage and laughing till the tears ran down his little caraway seed eyes and his raisin mouth was bubbling all over with fun. After a little while, the cat managed to pull herself out from under the cook and the dog, and a very cast down and crumpled up looking cat she was. She had had enough of hunting gingerbread men, and she crept back into the kitchen to repair the damages. The dog, who was very cross because his face had been badly scratched, let go of the cook, and at last, catching sight of the gingerbread man, made a bolt for the garden wall. The cook picked herself up, and although her face was also badly scratched and her dress was torn, she was determined to see the end of the chase, and she followed after the dog, though this time more slowly. When the gingerbread man saw the dog coming, he jumped down on the farther side of the wall and began running across the field.
Run, run, run as fast as you can! You can't catch me! I'm the gingerbread man!
Now in the middle of the field was a tree, and lying at the foot of the tree was Jocko, the monkey. He wasn't asleep. Monkeys never are. And when he saw the little man running across the field and heard the cook calling,
"Jocko! Jocko! Stop the gingerbread man!"
he at once gave one big jump, but he jumped so fast and so far that he went right over the gingerbread man, and as luck would have it, he came down on the back of the dog, who had just scrambled over the wall, and whom he had not before noticed. Towser was naturally taken by surprise, and he turned his head around and promptly bit off the head of the monkey's tail, and Jocko quickly jumped off again, chattering his indignation. Meanwhile, the gingerbread man had got to the bottom of the tree and was saying to himself,
"Now I know the dog can't climb a tree, and I don't believe the old cook can climb a tree. And as for the monkey, I'm not sure, for I've never seen a monkey before, but I am going up."
So he pulled himself up hand over hand until he had got to the topmost branch. But the monkey had jumped with one spring onto the lowest branch, and in an instant, he also was at the top of the tree. The gingerbread man crawled out to the furthermost end of the branch and hung by one hand. But the monkey swung himself under the branch, and stretching out his long arm, he pulled the gingerbread man in. Then he held him up and looked at him so hungrily that the little raisin mouth began to pucker down at the corners, and the caraway seed eyes filled with tears. And then what do you think happened? Why, little Bobby himself came running up. He had been taking his noonday nap upstairs, and in his dreams, it seemed as if he kept hearing people call,
"Little Bobby! Little Bobby!"
until finally he jumped with a start and was so sure that someone was calling him that he ran downstairs without even waiting to put on his shoes. As he came down, he could see through the window in the field beyond the garden the cook and the dog and the monkey, and could even hear the barking of Towser and the chattering of Jocko. He scampered down the walk with his little bare feet pattering against the warm gravel, climbed over the wall, and in a few seconds arrived under the tree, just as Jocko was holding up the poor little gingerbread man.
"Drop it, Jocko!"
cried Bobby, and drop it Jocko did, for he always had to mind Bobby. He dropped it so straight that the gingerbread man fell right into Bobby's uplifted pinafore. Then Bobby held him up and looked at him, and the little raisin mouth puckered down lower than ever, and the tears ran right out of the caraway seed eyes. But Bobby was too hungry to mind gingerbread tears, and he gave one big bite and swallowed down both legs and a piece of the body.
"Oh!"
said the gingerbread man.
"I'm one third gone!"
Bobby gave a second bite and swallowed the rest of the body and the arms.
"Oh!"
said the gingerbread man.
"I'm two-thirds gone!"
Bobby gave a third and final bite and gulped down the head.
"Oh!"
said the gingerbread man.
"I'm all gone!"
And so he was. And that is the end of the story. Well, folks, I'm sure the gingerbread man learned this valuable lesson by the time he got eaten. You can run and run and run, but eventually you will get caught. That was a pretty entertaining story, but let's read some more. There's more of Tristan's Storytime coming right up. Those of you who know me know that I always try to be open and transparent with you, and I don't intend to stop now. And I think everybody can learn what a poor woodman shows us in this fable. And it's all in Mercury and the Woodman by Aesop. A poor woodman was cutting down a tree near the edge of a deep pool in the forest. It was late in the day, and the woodman was tired. He had been working since sunrise, and his strokes were not so sure as they had been early that morning. Thus it happened that the axe slipped and flew out of his hands into the pool. The woodsman was in despair. The axe was all he possessed with which to make a living, and he had not money enough to buy a new one. As he stood wringing his hands and weeping, the god Mercury suddenly appeared and asked what the trouble was. The woodman told what had happened, and straight away the kind Mercury dived into the pool. When he came up again, he had a wonderful golden axe.
"Is this your axe?" Mercury asked the woodman.
"No," answered the honest woodman. "That is not my axe."
Mercury laid the golden axe on the bank and sprang back into the pool. This time he brought up an axe of silver, but the woodman declared again that his axe was just an ordinary one with a wooden handle. Mercury dived down for the third time, and when he came up again, he had the very axe that had been lost. The poor woodman was very glad that his axe had been found and could not thank the kind god enough. Mercury was greatly pleased with the woodman's honesty.
"I admire your honesty," he said, "and as a reward, you may have all three axes, the gold and the silver, as well as your own."
The happy woodsman returned to his home with his treasures, and soon the story of his good fortune was known to everybody in the village. Now there were several woodmen in the village who believed that they could easily win the same good fortune. They hurried out into the woods, one here, one there, and hiding their axes in the bushes, pretended they had lost them. Then they wept and wailed and called on Mercury to help them. And indeed, Mercury did appear, first to this one, then to that. To each one he showed an axe of gold, and each one eagerly claimed it to be the one he had lost. But Mercury did not give them the golden axe, oh no. Instead, he gave them each a hard whack over the head with it and sent them home. And when they returned next day to look for their own axes, they were nowhere to be found. Those other woodmen should have learned what the poor woodman knew all along. Honesty is the best policy. When I was a kid, I used to think about driving the bus every day. I had this nice driver who was very kind to me over the years. I even remember pretending to speak on the radio, playing with the wipers, honking the horn, opening and closing the doors, things like that. I bet you guys have that same daydream sometimes, too. Well, today you're in for a treat, because today we're going to be singing The Wheels on the Bus. Now you can all pretend to be the bus driver, driving kids to school and from school all the way home again. So let's get in the driver's seat as we sing The Wheels on the Bus.
Swish, swish, swish.
Wasn't that exciting? I thought it was. But we've got a little more to do on today's show, so stick around. There's more of Tristan's Storytime coming right up. When you go outside, do you ever feel the push of air blowing on you? Sometimes it's really gentle and sometimes it's very, very strong. Do you know what that force is? That force is called the wind, which coincidentally is the name of today's poem, which is called The Wind by Robert Louis Stevenson. I saw you toss the kites on high and blow the birds about the sky. And all around I heard you pass like lady skirts across the grass. O wind a-blowing all day long, O wind that sings so loud a song. I saw the different things you did, but always you yourself you hid. I felt you push, I heard you call, I could not see yourself at all. O wind a-blowing all day long, O wind that sings so loud a song. O you that are so strong and cold, O blower, are you young or old? Are you a beast of field and tree, or just a stronger child than me? O wind a-blowing all day long, O wind that sings so loud a song. Boy, that poem was so good, it totally blew me away. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to tristanstorytime@gmail.com, and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The House That Jack Built, written and illustrated by Randolph Caldecott. Published in 1878 by Frederick Warren and Company. The Little Gingerbread Man, written by George Haven Putnam. Illustrations and decorations by Robert Gaston Herbert. Published in 1910 by G.P. Putnam Sons. Mercury and the Woodman, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Myla Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. The Wheels on the Bus, written by Verna Hills. Originally published in 1939. Music arrangement by The Green Orbs. The Wind, taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Bessie Collins Pease. Published in 1905 by the Dodge Publishing Company.